Okay, let's get started.
Wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode number 5 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioTU.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, the Sultan of the Shutter, Shelton Muller.
Oh, the Sultan of the Shutter.
You wow, like you that? Think,
I love it. You've been thinking about that all week, haven't you, Bruce? Man.
Man, I had 7 days to come up with that.
When I was younger, I was the Sultan of Swing. Now, you know, now I'm just the Sultan of the Shutter. But hey, no, that's a good description. Can I hold on to that?
You can. All right. You can trademark it.
Okay. Shelton Muller, the Sultan of the Shutter. I like that. I like it. Very well done. You're going to have to top that next week.
I'll start thinking now.
It's sort of like, you know, what did Pink Floyd do after Dark Side of the Moon? Oh, gee, how are we going to do this? How are you, Bruce?
I'm really well, thank you, mate. And yourself?
Good to hear. Very, very good. Thank you.
Excellent.
We're going to give some tips to our photo enthusiasts this week.
Beautiful.
I wanted to talk, and this was, of course, your suggestion from our our Happy Snaps interview last week, to talk about depth of field.
Sure.
So I wanted to talk about that because it's one of the best things that ever happened to a photographer, and few people really know how to use it well.
Sure.
And this I found out when I've done a lot of judging for camera clubs and photo associations. They ask me to come down and, you know, judge one of their local events and give a bit of a lecture. And as I walk around looking at the prints, I realize that one of the main issues that they have is not being able to adequately highlight the subject. Every picture has a reason for being, and usually it's because there's a distinct subject in the picture. It could be a person or a tree or a car or a pet, or it could be whatever, but there's usually a reason for taking a photograph. That reason needs to be accentuated, and one of the many ways that you can do that is to employ depth of field. Now, most of the people listening to this, if they're into photography, will probably understand what depth of field is, but let's have a quick rundown. Basically, the wider you open your aperture, the more light you let in other words, but through your aperture, the less you will have in focus from your foreground to your background. The smaller your aperture, that's up to the big numbers, f16, f22, f32, the more you will have in focus. And if from your foreground to your background. And most people would think, oh, well, that's what I want. I want more in focus. But not necessarily. Sometimes not having everything in focus is the best thing that you can do for your subject. And a classic example of this is portraiture, especially if it's available light portraiture. One of the advantages, of course, to the having a wide aperture is that you have a fast shutter speed, and or faster shutter speed. Usually, if it's a fairly decently wide aperture, like 1.8 or 1.4, then you're going to have enough light, even in an indoor window lit situation where a lot of portraits are taken, bridal portraits and baby portraits and that kind of thing. You're going to have a fast enough shutter speed to be able to handhold your picture and use window light. Now, at first glance, you might think, yes, but at that aperture, I'm not going to have, according to what you say, Shelton, a lot in focus. But therein is the advantage, because in portraits particularly, you want to focus on a person's eyes and face and try and exclude as much distracting material as you possibly can to really highlight the person. You may have also noticed that even in full-length portraits, I don't know whether you're a fan of Sports Illustrated, are you, Bruce?
I can't say that I read it religiously, but I do flick through it every now and again.
The swimsuit edition I'm talking.
Oh, of course.
Of course, of course. You buy that, of course, for the sports articles, am
That's
I right?
Right.
Yeah, of course, of course. You'll notice that a lot of the times when they have these swimsuit models or even any fashion model in a location, you'll notice that there's not a lot in focus except for the swimsuit model herself, standing on a beach, usually in beautiful, you know, late afternoon or early morning light. And the only thing in focus is her. And the scene is very compressed because the photographer's gotten way back with a 200mm or 300mm 2.8 lens, opened the aperture right up, completely removed everything from focus except the model. And those kind of photographs, they're not hard to do. A longer lens, a wide aperture, And of course, well, I suppose a swimsuit model helps, but well, can't hurt.
No.
And you have the makings of a fabulous photograph, provided, of course, you combine that with the right light. Now, if you were to close your aperture down, not only do you have a slower shutter speed with a long lens, not a good combination, but you're also going to start seeing the background, and your eye is going to start to be distracted. I know that's hard to believe, you know, but even in Sports Illustrated, your eyes are going to be distracted from the subject away to objects in the background that are in focus, because the eye naturally does that. It looks for things that are sharp. What you really want to do in a situation like this is minimize your depth of field so that the only thing that's sharp in the picture, and the only thing, therefore, your eye is going to concentrate on, is the subject. And therein is the benefit of using minimal depth of field for portraits and fashion photographs, where all you really want to see is the person. The same would apply with child portraiture, wedding portraiture, all of those kinds of photography. If you've got a longer lens, which compresses a scene and accentuates the effect of minimal depth of field, if you've got a wide aperture, it could even be an f4 or 4.5, would still do have a lovely effect. You can quite effectively take a very dynamic portrait using that. Of course, if you've got the money and you can afford a lens like an 80 to 200 2.8 or a 300 millimeter f4 or 2.8, if you're really rich, you're going to really, really highlight the subject.
Or that fantastic Sony that you're taking to China.
Well, you know, it's an interesting point you make, because a lot of these prosumer cameras, like the camera we talked about last week, the Sony that I'm going to be taking, at the 200 end, yes, it is f2.8.
That's incredible.
And it is incredible. It's absolutely fabulous. And I'm really looking forward to making the most of that in places like crowded market scenes. Now, here's a classic example of how the eye could be darting all over the photograph and not really concentrating on the thing that you picked out as the reason for taking that picture, and that was maybe somebody selling fruit or dead chickens, yeah, or whatever it might be in a Chinese marketplace. You pick out the subject, you open your aperture, all your foreground, all your background is going to be out of focus, you only allow that subject to be seen, and you've got a dynamic picture that no one can look at and ask, why did you take that? It's self-evident, because the only thing you see in focus is the subject itself.
Yeah.
At the other end of the scale, if you're a landscape photographer or you're a travel photographer who wants to photograph great vistas and scenes, the benefit that you have in photographing landscapes is that you have, at the other end of the scale, where you use a small aperture, you can have incredible depth of field. You can have from a foot in front of you to infinity, in as sharp as a tack, if you use the depth of field correctly. Now, people may say, well, why would I want that? Didn't you just say that minimal depth of field is a good idea? Well, that's a different subject. We're talking about people, or where you really just want to highlight one thing in a very potentially crowded environment. In landscapes, often you want to lead the eye through the scene. You have maybe some foreground interest, a rock, a stone, a tree, a river, something in the foreground. You want that to be sharp because it's interesting, and you want to lead the eye through your composition, right through to the mountains or whatever they might be in the background. So using a wide-angle lens, which also accentuates the effect of maximum depth of field, and a small aperture will be an excellent and very successful technique for landscape photography. Of course, the thing you've got to be careful of, usually you're working in early morning or late afternoon light, is that at smaller apertures, you're going to have slower shutter speeds. And if you're using filters, you're going to have slower shutter speeds again. But any good landscape photographer knows that you don't take a picture of a landscape without having your camera on a tripod, right?
Yeah.
So you are able to use longer shutter speeds. And if you're photographing water, rivers, lakes, oceans, streams, it actually has a beautiful effect on the movement of the water as well. Yeah. So there's all sorts of things that play in your advantage if you use small apertures and maximize your depth of field for landscapes. In fact, there's a technique, you've probably heard of it, Bruce, called hyperfocal distance.
I can't say that I have.
Well, often I describe it like this way. Depth of field can be like a blanket that hangs over the end of your bed while your chest is exposed and you're lying there shivering. All you've got to do is pull the blanket up and stop wasting the blanket over the edge of the bed. Now, you can do that with depth of field. because if you have a lot of depth of field, it actually can extend, for all purposes, beyond infinity.
Right.
And I know I sound like Buzz Lightyear there, but...
to infinity and beyond!
But you're wasting it by actually focusing too far into the scene, and you're wasting depth of field from an optical laws point of view beyond infinity. What you can do, a lot of lenses used to have what was called a hyperfocal setting that you could use, but most don't these days. But an idea would be to focus about one third to one half into your scene. So if you divided your frame into your vertical frame, you find the bottom third of your frame, you divide it into equal thirds, you find the bottom third, and you focus somewhere around there using your smallest aperture. What you're going to find, even though in the viewfinder your foreground will look out of focus, you'll find that when you take the picture, your foreground will actually be quite sharp because the lens will close down, it will increase your depth of field when you take the picture, and you'll find that from maybe a foot or 2 feet or 3 feet in front of you, right through to infinity, all of that will be sharp as a tack. And it's called hyperfocal distance. Simply by not focusing, you know, on the place you think you should focus, but actually deliberately focusing about a one-third to one-half into the frame, stopping your lens down to its smallest aperture, you can maximize the depth of field and not hang it over the end of the bed like we've said, and use it wisely.
Sounds good.
Well, I hope it works to your benefit, because it's one of the best optical laws that just happened to be fluked upon us. It's really great, and I use it all the time. I used to think that I'd never use my 85mm 1.8, but I live in that lens.
Would. Yeah. Do you know, about 5 years ago, my house got broken into and I lost my camera bag. It had a Minolta Dynax 7000.
No.
I'd had the stock lens that came with it, which was a 35 to 70 mil, which was a fairly uninspiring lens, but I had a 135 mil prime f2.8.
Nice lens.
And geez, I still miss that lens to this day.
We're going to have to work on getting you another one, aren't we? Well, a 135 2.8, not incredibly expensive. I mean, even my 85mm 1.8, I had it valued last year, brand new, was only around the $800 mark. I say only, but if you're a working photographer, I mean, that's not an incredible investment.
It's a tool of your trade.
It is a tool of your trade, and it is just the most beautiful piece of glass. At 1.8, you haven't got a lot of depth of field, so be very careful if you're doing a close portrait. You've got to focus bang on the eyes. Look for the eyelashes and focus on them, because that's where you've got to be. And if you move just a little bit, you're going to be that slightly bit soft. So, again, a tripod is a good idea, if at all possible. But I tell you what, you live in that lens if you do portraiture. Whereas a good friend of mine, Ian Rolfe, he is a landscape photographer, and his favorite lens is his 20 mil, and he uses that. I don't think he ever takes it off 32 or 22. He lives in those apertures and has no need for anything wider.
Yeah, right.
Now, I said I was going to talk about Total Image. For all the listeners, I just wanted to announce that the current issue of Total Image and Better Pictures, which is the Camera House version, will be out in stores very, very soon if it's not there already. There's a feature on shooting spring weddings. Wedding photography seems to daunt most people, but it's not that hard. If someone asks you to take pictures at their wedding, read this article, and it should help you a lot. There's also a very nice article that Ian did write on landscape photography, in which he not only touches on hyperfocal distance, but composition and light as well. So head down to your participating photo retailer. Their Better Pictures is available at all Camera House stores, and of course Total Image is available from a lot of independent photo retailers who stock it. And if they don't stock it, give them hell.
Absolutely. All right, Shelton, well, that sounded very informative, and I'll certainly be giving that more consideration as well.
So. I'm going to have to now work on getting you a 135 2.8. Leave it with me, Bruce.
No worries.
See if I get some good news for you for next week.
Excellent. All right, mate, we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. All the best.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotou.com. Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear
when you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
AudioToYou.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control D to bookmark.
AudioToYou.com.